Hi everyone, welcome to the Mahadeya on yet another pleasant Monday evening. So today we thought of taking into consideration one of the sutras of Sutra Pitaka, that is Pahana Sutra. So we thought of having a discussion, a detailed discussion based on this sutra, and for this I have invited Professor Ravi Koggalage, the former Vice Chancellor Academic of Sir John Kothalawala Defence University. He is an engineer turned into a meditation teacher, I would call it. So he is a meditation teacher with overseas experience. And then we have Mr. Vipula Vanigasekara, who is a former senior diplomat, Director General of Sri Lanka Tourism, Chief Executive of Convention Bureau, and now senior lecturer at the National School of Business Management in Tourism, Marketing and Event Management. He has also authored the book Pointers to Enlightenment, and he currently conducts meditation sessions as a meditation guru to the foreigners who visit the island. So we warmly welcome both of you to the Mahadeya today. And in order to discuss this Pahana Sutra, as I promised our viewers, I would like to turn on to Mr. Vipula Vanigasekara. How would you describe this sutra, sir?
This is a sutra which, you know, in our common language, we sometimes say you take the bull by the horn. Mm-hmm. You know, you straight away go into the core reasons as to why you are here and why you are mm-hmm. traveling in this samsaric sojourn and why you are suffering. And mm-hmm. and that is, we all know, the raga, dvesha and moha. And how Lord Buddha was explaining to the disciples the need to to let go of the attachment to lust and your resistance to the hatred or anger. But what is subtle in this sutra is that there is also an area where Lord Buddha was talking about the neutral feelings, where you are neither in the lust or in the avengeful condition, but also the neutral feelings with which one tends to believe that this is peaceful, this is happiness. And then Lord Buddha says, detach from that also. Now, what exactly is that? Now, this is why we keep talking about the need for a self-inquiry. And those who are actually going into meditation, where you analyze to what extent you are clinging on to various material world, and then to what extent you have this what we call this the resistance to what you don't like. In this same investigation, especially those who are practicing meditation, you come across these situations where you feel this is neutral, I am happy, and this is very peaceful. And then you get attached to that also. And this is why Lord Buddha very correctly cautioned the disciples, you know, don't walk into this trap. Because in your investigations, sometimes you come across these blissful experiences which may arise from these natural feelings. Yeah, you are not, you believe that, you know, I am okay. But that is also another subtle attachment to which you are caught up, and again you are back in the same track. So I'm sure mm-hmm. Professor
can yeah I'm add sure Professor would like to elaborate on that trap.
Yes, when considering these three types of vedanas, sukha vedana, dukkha vedana and adukkama sukha vedana. Of course, sukha vedana, we all know the lust is the raga anusaya. Mm-hmm. The anusaya is raga. The anusaya, in the sense, it's
what
hidden.
Is left hidden.
Hidden. You okay. don't know it is there. Mm-hmm. So whatever happy feelings, that raga anusaya is there. to get
okay,
attached.
Happy feelings with some hidden elements of raga.
Yeah, getting attached.
Okay.
Right?
Okay.
That kind of nature is there.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Then when you get unhappy feelings, the dukkha vedana,
mm-hmm.
the patiga anusara is there.
Aversion.
Aversion.
Okay.
Right? And as Vipula mentioned, the third one is adukkama sukha vedana.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes we translate as neutral feeling. Still, there's something called avijja anusaya,
mm-hmm.
not knowing the reality, is
mm-hmm.
there. Because of that, you get deluded in this the neutral feeling. But due to that delusion, you may think you have achieved kind of magapala or something like that.
I didn't right? sort of get it. So like now this adukkama sukha.
Yeah.
With the adukkama sukha, how
did you say
that? Adukkama
means no suffering. Adukka.
Yeah. Yes.
Asukha. It
okay.
is. In fact, it is adukkama asukha.
Neither so, it is a feeling of suffering and nor a feeling of pleasantness.
Happy. Yeah.
Okay.
So neither pleasant or unpleasant.
Mm-hmm.
It's a kind of neutral kind
mm-hmm.
of feeling. In I can explain in this normal meditation practice. So even your normal whatever posture you are. So initially, when you sit on the chair, you may think this is the most comfortable position. You get the happy feeling.
Mm-hmm.
But after a while, you may feel a bit uncomfortable and need to change your posture.
Yeah.
So then you experience the other way around,
mm-hmm.
the suffering
mm-hmm.
or the dukkha vedana.
Mm-hmm.
And there's another important point. You may think if I change this to another position, I get another
better.
Sukha
okay.
vedana.
Okay.
Better position.
Mm-hmm.
That's why you change. But it is only for a few seconds you feel that happy feeling.
Mm-hmm.
After a while, again, it converted to the opposite side and you have to change your position,
mm-hmm.
right? So the normal life, this is this is very clearly explained in another sutta called this Chula Vedala Sutta. You know, the questions and answers between
mm-hmm.
Visakha Upasaka and Dhammadinna Therani,
mm-hmm.
Rahat Therani.
Yes.
So the questions raised about Vedana, these things explains very clearly. So three types of Vedana, these Anusaya Dhamma are there.
Mm-hmm.
So normal people, you know, they jump from one to another, especially from Dukkha to Sukha.
Mm-hmm.
So they see only the opposite side only.
Mm-hmm.
But when you start meditation, especially samatha meditation, so initially you might think, how can I stay longer, you know, without changing posture? But little by little, when you develop your samadhi, for example, in your breathing meditation, anapanasati, when you develop your, you know, samadhi or the mindfulness, you might not feel like physical pains. So you can stay longer in one portion.
Mm.
So that means you are experiencing kind of neutral feeling.
Mm.
Not happy or unhappy.
Okay.
Or pleasant or unpleasant. But it's a kind of neutral feeling from your body.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So when you are in going to deeper samadhi, especially dhyanas and so on, you can experience this neutral feeling.
Mm-hmm.
And as Vipula mentioned, you may get trapped thinking I have achieved something, you know, supramundane results.
Now, sir, just a bit of clarification there. Now, Mr. Vipula mentioned about a bliss. And of course, when you develop more samadhi in samatha meditation, you get into some bliss stage.
Yeah,
it's a kind of... this adukkama sukha?
It's a kind of bliss because you have given up these two extremes, the
the
sukha vedana and dukkha vedana.
Okay.
So when you are
so
get rid
of bliss. Okay.
Yeah. When bliss you are not relief. In these two, you, for example, you don't have to change your postures in this example. Mm-hmm. It's a kind of bliss. But because we don't know how we are suffering by changing our body.
Okay. But it's sometimes you get a major bliss, like, you know, very happy.
That's right.
But isn't it sukha then? It's not sukha.
Well, it's a kind of sukha, but these things you have to be very careful when you, you know, categorizing. It may be due to lust, or but when you are not having, you know, physical pain, so the dukkha vedana, you feel kind of bliss, right? But this is not the, you know, real happiness, or the something called niramisa sukha.
So what this, you experience there is not niramisa sukha, is that
that's
so?
Right.
Okay.
So this may be, sometimes you may experience that temporary, that kind of sukha.
Yeah.
Not long lasting, but in dhyanas, it's a kind of lasting, for example, for jhana, it's you feel the upekkha. The, it is not sukha. Sukha vedana is in the level of third jhana. When you go to fourth jhana, it is converting to upekkha vedana. It's again neither sukha or dukkha. Right? The neutral feeling. But the problem is still your delusion is there.
Yeah.
You experience something blissful, but still
delusion,
your delusion is there.
Yes.
Avijja is there. Your personal belief is there. I am experiencing this bliss kind of thing. Right? This is the exact point according to this Chulavedala Sutra also. It is asking, what's the opposite or the patibhaga of dukkha vedana? Then the Dhammadinna Rahat Therani answering the opposite is sukha vedana. Then Visakar is asking, what's the opposite of sukha vedana or the patibhaga? It is dukkha vedana. Then he is raising another question. What's the opposite of this adukkama sukha or the neutral feeling, right? Then the answer was, if I'm not mistaken, the avijja, and the opposite of avijja is the vijja.
Right?
So the delusion and opposite of that is get rid of avijja. Right? Then it is directing, then what's the opposite of that one? The next question. The opposite in the sense, the term, Pali term is patibhaga. Right? Other half. Something like that. So, other half of avijja is vijja. Then he is asking, what is the other half of vijja? It is the vimukti, the answer given us. And he is asking again, what's the other half of vimukti? It is the nibbana.
Okay.
Like that, it is directing towards nibbana. So that's the point I wanted to raise here. Now, this is the eye-opener towards nibbana, the neutral feeling. Not the sukha vedana, not the dukkha vedana, but when you are in neutral feeling, there's a high possibility of seeing something beyond that. So beyond all these three Vedanas. So all three Vedanas got those three Anusaya Dhammas. The Raga Anusaya, Patiga Anusaya and Avijja Anusaya. And the path leading to Nibbana, you are cutting off those Anusaya Dhamma. So it is possible, I mean, one easy point is when you are in the neutral feeling. Because if it is sukha vedana, you are more likely get attached. If it is dukkha vedana, more likely get, you know, the patiga, the aversion. Right? But in neutral side, it's very easy to focus your mind towards what is going on. Right? So yeah. That's how I see this Pahana Sutta, how to get rid of these three type of, our defilements involved in each of these three types of Vedana.
Yes. So, Mr. Vanikasekara, now having been listening for some time, do you elaborate, now when we consider Pahana Sutra, do you elaborate on giving up, raga, dvesha and moha?
I think what matters at the end of the day is how you apply it in your day-to-day life, irrespective of whether you want happiness in this life or you want to find the truth, or whether you are in the process of seeking the true nature of life. What applies is how you apply it to your day-to-day experience. Now, if you take a driving force as lust, it goes without saying that there's nothing to explore anymore, because we all know it's always you want something more, or you want, when you get attached and when you get it, that seeking comes to an end, and the next attachment arises, so the lust continues. And I think that is probably the biggest driving force that keeps these beings along the samsaric process, and it arises, and it causes immense suffering. But that is also, like, a lot of people don't they don't accept that the underpinning truth in this entire chasing of lust is suffering. Why? Because the moment the seeking comes to an end, you think you are happy, but it doesn't work that way, because suffering follows after every time that you think, okay, I have achieved in the light of this what you are looking for.
Yeah.
And then what you are rejecting, what you are trying to detach, resisting, because I don't want this, I don't like this person, I don't like this situation, which is Ashtaloka Dhamma, there is no way you can get out of it. So your resistance to that again causes suffering. And then comes the in-depth part where, this neutral feeling where you are neither happy nor unhappy. And that is where the lobha dosa moha, and one needs to ask, why is this ignorance? And Lord Buddha said that even that needs to be detached from, because that might give the wrong impression to the people that I have, now I am happy. And this happens to a lot of people who, in this world, we see that some people, they move from one ego to another. Sometimes you give up everything that you have and you start a different life where, you are not involved in many businesses, or you are not involved in... what effectively has happened is, although he feels that there is a neutral feeling, in reality, one has left one ego and acquired another. And that creates that ignorance, because, now, this is the goal that I have reached, and this is it. So that's why Lord Buddha said. So I think what is important is how you apply it in your day-to-day life, and how you look at yourself using this, how the aggregates operate, interrelating to each other in the light of raga, dvesha, moha, which will help you to see something real and a touch of true nature of life.
Professor?
I wanted to point out something. Those who are willing to practice practicing vipassana, sometimes they may get deluded here, the neutral feeling. For example, now many have heard that ditte dittamattan sute sutamattan and so on. When you see something, seen only, but you might end up with the neutral feeling, with the delusion or the avijja. right? But you might think I am not attached and I don't dislike.
I is still there.
I is still there. For example, when you see this flower, okay, flower is there. I am not get attached.
Exactly.
And I don't have any, you know, dislike feeling. So then a person might think that is something called ditte dittamatta. It is not. So one has to identify these three types of vedana, the sukha feeling, happy feeling, unpleasant feeling. Even if you are not in those two extremes, still the neutral feeling, the delusion can be there. So this is where you need real vipassana.
Mm-hmm.
So we have discussed this in
now it was an eye opener when you say ditte dittamanta.
Yes.
It means like you have seen something.
Yeah.
But you didn't get attached to it. You just forget it. You saw it, you forget it.
Yeah.
Still, and you let it go.
Still that delusion, the moha part is there.
Is there.
Why? Because flower is there. The experience in person, I am experiencing that. Are you also there? Right?
Mm-hmm.
So the worldly level, it's okay. But lokottara level, you have to do some more things.
Mm-hmm.
That's where you have to contemplate about how your mind works and how your other faculties work, the salayatana.
Yeah.
He is absolutely right, because, you know, this, if you see something, you have only seen it, and if you heard something, you have only heard. Now, I hear this in many, many discourses and many, many sermons, but in a subtle way, it also recreates this mental formation. I experienced that.
Yes.
So you are once again caught
two
up
extremes
in the,
are there, the two sides. You know? That is also called duality. The two sides, two ends. So external world and internal yourself.
So, and there is a need. There is a need. Like, why did Lord Buddha say that? You know, then it's so easy, because you detach from this and you detach from that, you are free. And why is it that, you know, you can't be free? Because once again you are getting trapped into the other delusion.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So it is not like like as the other day I was talking to another in one of the meditation, you know, someone was asking about this detachment. Why don't you give up everything and then you are through? So in that case, the day Lord Buddha, the great renunciation, you know, we like, you know, this the three mansions, Ramya, Suramya, and the family, the emperor, all that, you know, the day
the newborn child,
exactly,
all that.
And the way he walked out, he would have achieved nirvana then, but the moha was still there, you know, and that is what moha means, that you are.
The attachment would have still been there. So family, maybe mentally.
One would have argued that, you know, the day that's why you call it great
it's a very good point. The time he is giving up.
Giving up, you know, you are maybe free. Well, how come he
have you achieved nibbana?
Because there is still this subtlety which he had to undo.
So you want to say something? Or shall I just, yes.
Yeah.
So now we talked about this clinging and attachment. Now, why do you think it is so difficult for us to be away from attachment so much?
This clinging is interpreted in so many ways. You know, just because I want to have a good meal, someone might probably call it clinging. And just because you look after your family, just because you attend to your responsibilities, people interpret as tanha or clinging. I suppose clinging is something within, it is inside. And what you really want in the next moment, everyone wants your children to do well, your family to do well, and you have a good health. You know, those are, you know, human needs. But clinging is a hidden driver that actually you will go to any extent without giving any consideration, and you will break all the rules of Brahma Vivarana and everything because of that sheer clinging that you have inside. Now, that is, of course, clinging, but your day-to-day, you know, what you... You know, one might want to give up a motorcycle and start using a car, you know, it's, you know, you will go for a usual comfort. So therefore, you know, this tanha or clinging should not be interpreted in a way that, you know, it's like everything has to be given up, but you have your basic, you know, the responsibilities and accountabilities which you will do. Clinging is that, you know, I will have this, you know, one day, and I want to beat so and so, I want to, you know, that kind of a thing with which you are actually suffering. You know, I remember once I was, this is a very, very practical example, when I walked into the office to collect one of the DVDs from your office, I was carrying my grandchild with me, and and someone related to me looked at me and said, this is attachment, and, you know, just in a good, you know, it's not with a bad intention, you know, you are carrying your grandchild, and, you know, of
That's
course
attachment.
he's attached to me, and she was telling me, you know, this is also attachment. So I didn't go to answer. It's you know, so then you need to elaborate it. So how your attachment is that whatever that child is going to be, whatever, you know, that you don't know, but your responsibility to offer the warmth and the protection is, it cannot be, you know, categorized as attachment and clinging. So that's why I want to say that you need to be very careful, you know, it gives that connotation that, you know, you drop, give up, and then finally you end up with nothing, and that is the freedom. I think it is very strongly advocated, you know, which is certainly not the case.
Professor can comment on that.
Yes, I've been thinking of, you know, talking about this worldly level and the supramundane, the difference. Like worldly level, you may think when you give up certain things, so the giving dana, you know, get rid of what you have, you can achieve nibbana. But it's a wrong belief, I think.
Yeah.
It's like a good kusal, good deed. Of course, you'll get good return. But
it's so not enough for nibbana.
That's right.
Yeah.
So so people might think, if I give up everything, even like family members and so on, you can achieve nibbana. If that is the case, the Bodhisattva Vesantara should have achieved nibbana
during that time.
Yeah.
Right? So dana is, of course, good, but it is not the path leading to nibbana, because Buddha very clearly explained the path. Arestangika Magga, starting with Samadhitti. One has to follow clear understanding, clear view, right view, right? So, but when you see, when you develop your wisdom in this supramundane side, now, whatever, even these flowers we took as example many times. Now, if you are very attached to this, it is difficult to give, right? So you give something with kind of difficulty in dana. But supramundane level, what is simply happening is there's nothing existing to get attached. So it is not difficult to give anything. Or whether you give or not, there's nothing much difference.
Okay.
Right? Because simply you are not attached. The if you are attached only, it is very difficult to give up. So worldly level, we have a lot of things we got attached. So the practicing giving up is a good thing, worldly level, but it is not a direct path to Nibbana, one has to understand. So because I may refer the, you asked about this clinging, and there are two very similar terms in Buddhism, tanha and upadana. They normally they translate it as craving and the clinging. So craving is tanha, then upadana is the kind of strong clinging. So to see Buddhism, one has to understand the dukkha satya, the suffering, even we talk, worldly level, we may not experience it, but Buddha has mentioned this Sankittena Panchupadana Kanda Dukkha.
Yeah.
So in short, this suffering is the Panchupadana Kanda. First one is Rupa Upadana Kanda. So if
form.
You if you attach to any rupa,
any form
matter, that is simply suffering.
Sure.
So worldly level you may not realize this, mm-hmm. but Lokottara side you can see that, you can experience it. That's why you'll not get attached to anything,
mm-hmm.
like worldly way. So if you are not attached, you know, giving up is not a question.
Okay.
So it doesn't arise. That
it
much,
doesn't yeah. arise.
Mm-hmm.
So because there is nothing
mm-hmm.
belongs to you.
Okay.
When upadana is not there, the mm-hmm. clinging is not there. So it is not like you giving up with very, you know, with difficulty.
Mm-hmm.
So it's automatical thing when you develop your mm-hmm. wisdom level and see about the worldly things or the rupa. So when you see true nature, you'll realize there's nothing there to get attached. That's the result of this Kayanupassana also. The nachakinchi loke upadiyati. There will be nothing to get attached in this world when you develop your wisdom, when you practice your Kayanupassana to see the true nature of rupa or physical matter.
Okay.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So there are two sides again in a worldly level of view and the lokottara view,
mm-hmm.
the mundane and supramundane.
Yeah.
Now most of these foreigners who attend my meditation sessions, in the first place, why do they come and attend these sessions? Now they have everything, you know. Basically, in their own countries, these are developed countries, so your basics are there, like your house or a car or something, and they are immensely suffering with this. What will happen to me tomorrow? You know, some are worried about their own jobs. You know, sometimes when they return after the holiday, your job may not be there. You know, and some have these relationship problems, and some. So although they appear to be, you know, okay, happy and having a good relaxation and nice holiday in a tropical country.
Mm-hmm.
When they attend these sessions and you have an initial dialogue with them and you see that there is burning, you know, suffering inside.
Mm-hmm.
And that is what it's all about. And then you help, you know, through these various techniques for them to ask themselves this question, okay, this you have this worry or you have this anger, you have this anxiety, you have this, you know, pain or anger or whatever that, now you go back and search and mm-hmm. search and see it. And finally they come to the point where this suffering is causing. Exactly the point.
Mm-hmm.
The moment the realization occurs, you know, it's just baseless, it's just mind-driven thing. And connected to lust, connected to aversion, connected, you know, it at least for that moment it gives them some kind of a relief at mundane level.
Yeah.
And then it's a question of probing into that
mm-hmm.
continuously.
Yes. So you need to add something to...
Yeah, I remember something because yesterday I was in a program conducting at Cancer Hospital
mm-hmm.
Maharagama. So there were cancer patients and a doctor introducing this. He was telling this meditation would help you to, you know, get cure and so on. But I wanted to tell them the truth. You might get cured, maybe due to medicine or meditation. But my point is, even you get cured, there's no guarantee. Maybe next day you'll get another type of sickness and
that's true.
Might die.
Sure.
So we have to accept the reality. And Buddha has shown a path where you will never get such kind of suffering again. That is Nibbana. So
mm-hmm.
our meditation leading to that.
Okay.
But of course, initially we practice something useful for, you know, healing and so on, especially mm-hmm. samatha meditation and these techniques. But one should not stop there. Mm-hmm. Because when you get cured, you, you know, forget.
Yes, once again it might.
You'll be in the normal life again and doing the same wrong things, you know, it's repeating.
Yes, that's true. And so, Vaniga Sekara, now, do you think, now, if a person has, let's say, let go of attachment or clinging, do you call that person free?
Well, yes and no. In mundane levels, there is certain amount of relief.
Uh-huh.
When you are detached from certain, you know, like what you are going after. And you only have to, you know, sometimes you are suffering without knowing whether you are going to get it or not.
Sure,
And eventually, if you don't get it, it's further suffering.
Yeah.
But
it's
if you just keep an open mind, if I get it, okay, fine. If I don't get it, that is also, it doesn't matter. So therefore, mundane level, certainly it helps. But, and the very appearance of Lord Buddha is to pull the people out of ignorance.
Yeah.
And that is very much beyond, you know, what we are talking about, this, you know, detaching from attachment and detaching from this. So your initial relief coming from the mundane level is fine. That is that helps. And you know, it's like not every businessman can become Bill Gates or
mm-hmm.
Richard Branson. It's only some people achieve that.
Yeah.
Others will continue to strive that until they die, you know, and they will not achieve it. And the entire life is nothing but suffering then.
That is the important thing. Entire life, they are suffering.
They thinking that I'm going to be this, I'm going to be that. You know,
and they do not see that they are suffering.
And they are suffering. When you are angry, you are suffering.
Yeah.
When you have the hatred, you are suffering.
Actually, what I was about to point out is, now you said that they suffer. Now, sometimes thinking of Bill Gates, for example, or somebody of that
Steve
caliber,
Jobs.
Like Steve Jobs, or somebody of that who had been successful as an entrepreneur or inventor or whatever. Now, from childhood, we have been listening to motivational speeches that we should not give up our dreams. So, people try to be like them. Now, people try to be like them. People have their dreams, especially young people, they develop their dreams. And they try to be like them. And sometimes, as you correctly said, they end up being successful, and sometimes they do not. And sometimes they do not see, realize how much of suffering that they have already gone through. So, how do you see it? Do you think that people should not dream too much? Or do you see this?
Well, I think it is, you know, I don't know, there are many people who advocate, or they try to relate the Buddhist philosophy into, you know, how to do well in life, how to do well in your job, I don't know to what extent you can connect these two, you know, spiritual seeking and finding freedom is one thing, being a successful businessman is another, and that is one way of looking at it, because when it comes to spiritual freedom and finding your own solace, you know, is completely different to, you know, how wealthy you are and how successful you are in business. I have certainly a reservation on that. I may be wrong, but I'm sorry to say that. And on the other hand, now say you have leadership theories, and there are a lot of people, they take part in leadership programs.
Yeah.
And the very terminology, you can have one leader, right? It's not, you know, a team can't become leaders.
Yeah.
Now, to contradict this whole thing, I can even cite Richard Branson himself, because he said recently, in marketing, you keep saying that we have to satisfy the customers, you know, you have to delight the customer, that's the theory. He says, no, I'm not interested in that. I look after my employees. They will do the needful. Now, that's spirituality, and that's Dhamma, that's Metta, that's Karuna, you know. So, even now, sometimes if you look at it from that perspective, there may be some truth. And he became successful not following the so-called, you know, the management theories that are available, mm-hmm. you know, in which case everyone mm-hmm. can succeed if you follow everything.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
here's
yeah.
something very creative coming out of him, which is connected to what we are talking here. Mm-hmm. So, you see, these are the paradoxes, you know, so you can't find direct answers, but at the end, how much metta one could mm-hmm. extend to someone, at the end, how much mm-hmm. Karuna you can extend, and that is what matters. Even in a business organization, the success yeah. is measured by what? Is it the profits that each shareholder is grabbing, or is it that everyone benefits? You know, not only the people in the workplace, but the people in the surrounding area, the villagers, the everyone, the all stakeholders.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that you can call success.
Yeah. Professor, how would you call it? What do you think of, you know, because we have been taught, maybe like, I'm talking about our mundane lives, we have been taught to dream, to be like some role model. Do you think it's good or is it bad?
Mundane level, of course, there are so many things we can talk about, good things, mm-hmm. but
we suffer somehow.
Yes, exactly. So we should not forget in this sansaric journey we have done all those things maybe millions of times and still suffering, right? It's never ending. So we should not forget we are in a time Buddhism is there. The valuable point, this kshana sampatti, the opportunity we got. So if we waste this opportunity, we may not gain it again. So rather than talking worldly level things, sometimes I may be too harsh because mm-hmm. one time a lady, my meditation follower, came to
yeah.
me and telling me I need to tell you some personal story and so on. I asked why. She's telling about her daughter. Mm-hmm. Now she's somehow managed to enter the university and also graduate, and now she's not having a job.
Mm-hmm.
So this is what her suffering is. So since she's a meditation practitioner, I asked few questions. Mm-hmm. Now, why are you meditating? So... So she wanted to achieve, you know, gain Magapala or achieve Nibbana.
Sure.
Right? Then I asked, now you are trying to escape from this suffering. What do you want your daughter to do? Go along this sansaric journey and suffer or practice meditation or something like that? So she doesn't want to even, you know, tell anything about this to her own daughter.
Mm-hmm.
So I was telling her, so you are trying to end this suffering, but you are asking your daughter to suffer. Go and
she
suffer.
She has reserved it for the old age, perhaps.
Yeah, like,
yeah.
You know, sometimes we have to, you know, tell them in, you know, direct way, but I know
take the bull by the horn.
Yeah, she can understand yeah. this. That's why I mentioned like
yeah,
that. But
not
all they can understand.
Mm-hmm.
But you should not forget the valuable opportunity we
yes.
got.
Yes.
Like
so
being born as a human being and
yeah.
The opportunity to hear Dhamma,
mm-hmm.
and you will never get this opportunity again.
Yeah.
So if you waste this valuable opportunity. Well,
so we'll conclude today's program with that very eye-opening remark from Professor Ravi Koggalige. Do not waste this opportunity because we are there at a Buddhodpada time where the Buddha's Dhamma is existing. So we have been discussing the Pahana Sutra and we have elaborated on giving up raga, dvesha, moha, and how to pave us our path towards Nibbana. So we are extremely thankful to Professor Ravi Koggalige as well as Mr. Vipula Vanikasekara for being with us this evening. Thank you so much, gentlemen. And we wish to, you know, we wish to receive comments from you and questions from you so that we can have yet another discussion especially to discuss those comments or questions. So please write to us. Dhammahadaya, the producer Dhammahadaya, the Buddhist TV, Sri Sambodhi Vihara, R.J. Sinanayaka Mavata, Colombo 7. So thank you for being with us.